Well, good morning, everybody. Three quick things for everybody today. Number one is just a quick word of thanks. Jesus says to his first priests in today's gospel, he says, "Whoever receives you receives me." And he's speaking to his first priest, which sort of makes one to understand a little bit more of how the Catechism explains holy orders as being configured to Christ, that the priest becomes, is meant to become, and especially in the celebration of the sacraments, an alter Christus, another Christ. And Jesus goes on to say, whoever takes care of you, my dear priests, my dear chosen ones, takes care of me. And just really wild to think about. And even in the Old Testament, we see in today's first gospel, or in the first reading today, we see Elisha, who is a prophet. He was Elijah's successor, and he lived in a very tumultuous time in his ministry. And here's this Shunammite woman and her husband who create a place for Elisha to live. And the first reading said that they gave him a bed and a chair and a lamp and the food that he needed in order that he could carry out and be completely devoted to the work of God. There's always, you see, been this instinct to take care of God's chosen ones, you know, the holy ones. In the Old Testament, maybe the prophets and judges and these sorts of people. And in our own day and age, priests and religious. Speaking of religious, welcome to you, sisters. We're so happy that you are here today with us. These are servants of the Lord and the Virgin of Matera who have come to join us. And we'll build you a convent if you stay. And we would love to have you here. Their mother house is in Washington, D.C. They're on their way to Texas and stopped here for Mass. So we're so thankful to God that he brought you here today. There's always been this instinct, and the sisters know it just as well as we priests know it, that we're so well taken care of. And I don't think I could be better taken care of than I am here, you know. And I was at Cholula's. All of our Mexican restaurants are owned by parishioners, so I always feel a duty to support them all, you know. And anyway, so I go to all of them. And I was at Cholula's and with a priest friend of mine for lunch, and this parishioner was over here at the table and went to pay for my priest friend and our lunch. And Pancho, who was the owner there, he says, "We take care of Father." And I was just thought, that's so beautiful. I got people fighting over who's paying for my lunch. What a joy. When I was a brand new priest, I was at Our Lady of the Greenwood, and the kindergarten teacher, she invited me to come and read a book about God to the kindergartners. So I went over there and I was reading this book. And later on that night, early in the evening, I got a phone call from the teacher, and she said, "Father, what size shoe do you wear?" And I said, "That's an odd question. I wear a 12. And she said, "You know, little Patrick," he was in her class, "he noticed when you were sitting in the chair while the kids were all sitting on the ground, Patrick noticed that you had a hole in your shoe. And he suggested that if we took up a collection, we could buy Father a new pair of shoes." And to this day, you know, like, that's the most important pair of shoes I've ever had, you know. But there's always this instinct, and it's a good instinct. People took care of Jesus in the Gospels. We see Susanna and Joanna and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We see people taking care of him. And so this carries on with priests and religious today, and we're just very thankful for it. It's not that we're better, it's just that in the wisdom of the church and in the instinct of the faithful, it's like we want that there be people who are free to devote themselves entirely to the work of God and not have to be consumed with the worries of this world. I'm so thankful I never have to pay property taxes or anything like that. I mean, if I have a broken pipe or an air conditioning problem or something, I just call Margaret, and before the end of the day, it's fixed, you know. And It's just like, thank you, Lord, you know. By the way, this is where the whole idea of mass intentions, not mass intentions, mass stipends comes from. By the way, the most important thing you could ever do for a loved one is to have a mass said for them. Because what we do with a mass intention is we say, we are standing underneath the cross at Calvary at every mass. It's why we call it the sacrifice of the mass. Padre Pio said we should have the same heart that Mother Mary had when she stood under the cross 2,000 years ago at every mass. Because that's what's happening on this altar. And at a mass intention, we take all of those graces of Calvary and we apply them to one soul. And for 1,500 years, there's been a stipend attached to this. It's not that we're buying a mass. The mass is not for sale. It's that the church looked and said, those priests, they need a little something to take care of their daily needs, you know. And when we have excess mass intentions, which thanks to God we do, because our people here understand the importance of a mass. And so keep getting masses. Keep getting them for your loved ones. Carry on. But we can't possibly fulfill all of them here at our two parishes in Shelbyville. So what we do, what all of our parishes do with these excess intentions is we send them off to the missions office. And then the mass intent, your mass might be said by a priest in Africa in a tiny little pueblo there, or a priest in Haiti, or a priest in India someplace. And this is just, it's so beautiful. Look how good it is to be a Catholic. And those priests, they don't have 7 Mexican restaurants in town. You know, they don't have like all this stuff. They live on that and they're so thankful. So in any event, thanks to God, just a quick word of thank you to you. Number two, a quick encouragement. Jesus says something very challenging in our gospel today. He says, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me and cannot be my disciple. And I think the question that we ought to pass a little time in prayer with is there something that you would gladly do for your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife that you would hesitate to do for God? We will sacrifice, thanks be to God, for our families a lot of things. And Jesus is not saying don't love your family, obviously. We will sacrifice time and money and vacations and sleep and energy and conveniences and all of these things for our families. But I think Jesus is gently kind of asking us, do you love me at least that much? But you gotta love me even more. Because don't you see, without Jesus, we wouldn't even have our families. And so, if things are a little bit out of whack, out of order in our loves, then this is an invitation from our Lord to reorder things properly. Jesus is number one. And then the family, and then everything else, you know. The third thing, a quick thank you, a quick encouragement. Number three, quick little acts of love. Jesus says, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to the one who is thirsty will not lose his reward. Holiness does not require grandiose gestures. Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, taught us that very well. Jesus says it here. Sometimes just a little act of love is all that he asked for. The widow gave her mite. The boy gave his 2 fish and his 5 loaves. Jesus speaks of this one who gives only a cup of water. But don't you see, with Jesus, our God is a God of multiplication. He'll take that one little thing and he'll multiply it He'll do something so big through it that we won't even be able to understand how he is doing it. A simple word of encouragement, a simple phone call or text message or note, a simple smile or compliment or a visit or a quiet little prayer or a fast offered for someone. These are little things that God takes and multiplies to the infinite. My summer that I was in the hospital, I was in the cardiac unit, and this was when I was in the seminary, and a fellow chaplain of mine in our little group there, she was a Baptist, of all things. I'm kidding, I love Baptists. But anyway, she was a Baptist, and she was in the children's unit, and she had it a lot harder than I did. And one day, she had had a horrible day, and so it was the end of the day, and I just put my hand on her shoulder and I just said, hang in there. You know, at the end of the summer, she said to me that she was kind of close to just being done with the whole summer and walking away. But she said that when you put your hand on my shoulder and said, hang in there, it was like I got a surge from the Holy Spirit. I go, I at the time I was thinking, I wish I had something helpful to say, you know, I wish I had. But like God took that little thing. And he did something so much bigger with it. And that's what our Lord invites us to. Here on the altar, of course, though, he will do the greatest act of love that mankind has ever seen. For he will give us this Mass, his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity. He will give it to you and to me. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.